Read Galatians chapter number 5, please. Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to read verse number 19 down through verse number 26 to kind of get things started. I'm not going to get to these verses until the very end of my message. And so when we get here, I'm almost done. So y'all don't get scared thinking that it's been a long time. But when I get to these passages, we'll be almost done. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19 and verse all the way down to verse number 26. In these verses, he's going to give us a contrast between the fruits or the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. And so in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That word manifest, it means to be revealed or open. "Which of these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of these which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God moves inside of you, now these are the works that you are going to produce: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." When I get to the latter part of my message, it's going to be very similar to what Brother Chris preached on this morning. I'll have you to know I put my message together 2 weeks ago. And so as I was going over this afternoon, I thought, they must need it, because they're going to get two shots at this kind of, and you know the thing about it, God never does anything by accident. Because if you'll notice this morning, a lot of the songs that we sung talked about the cross, and it talked about the crucifixion and those type of things. I had no idea that he was going to preach on the message that he was going to preach on Wednesday. I got in my office in the dark and put those songs together. But you know what? God knew. And God is the orchestrator of all of this when we are dependent upon Him. And so I'm just going to preach it to you like He laid upon my heart a couple of weeks ago. I don't think this would be a shock to you when I say this, but I think that our country is in a mess. I think all of you would agree with that. And I could take it a little bit further from my perspective. I think many of our churches are also in a mess also. But as I look at our nation, we are more politically divided than we have ever been before in my lifetime. There's never been a time in my life when there's been such division between Republicans and independents and Democrats. I've never had a time in my life where I believe the people that are in the highest offices of this land truly hate this country. You say, "Oh, Brother David, that's harsh." But look at their actions and look at what they're doing to our nation. I'm telling you, their actions speak louder than words. I believe our nation is in a mess because we are politically divided. I believe that we're in a mess because of our economy. Brother Chris talked about, I believe, this in Sunday school, that we better be getting our financial house in order. And if you watch the news, you know, everything is going up. Meat prices are going up. Gases are going up. If you're building anything, building products are going up. And everything around us are getting more and more expensive. Inflation is on the rise. They tell us that right now we are $29 trillion in debt. Some would say that that's just kind of the surface. Most people believe we're closer to $80 or $90 trillion in debt when you include all that. But if we are $29 trillion in debt, that means you owe $85,405. Cooper over there has four in his house. He's got he's got a wife, and he's got two kids. You know what his price is? He will owe the government $341,642 to get out of the debt of $29 trillion. Hey, I'm telling you, we are in a mess. Morally, our country is in a mess. And everybody said, we are confused about what a man and a woman is. I saw an interview on the House, on the floor of the Congress just a few weeks ago, and a senator from Louisiana by the name of John Kennedy was interviewing a man on the House floor, and he asked him this question: how many sexes are there? This man hem-hawed and didn't want to answer the question. He just, you know how politicians do, they answer all around it, and he pinned him down. He said, sir, I want to ask you this question again. How many sexes do you believe there are? This man responded this way: I believe that there are more than just male and female. That wasn't on the news, that was on the floor of the Senate. We know that children as young as 8 years old can decide to have a sex change operation if they want to. Sexual promiscuity is just the norm now. It's just the accepted thing. Homosexuality is now as accepted as norm and is pushed down our throats at every turn. A few months ago, we have Disney Plus at our house, and so there was a new show that was coming out. It was called Big Shots, and John Stamos, who was part of the Full House generation that my kids used to watch too, was part of it. It was about basketball, so I thought, you know what, I want to watch this show, so we started watching it. Every Friday, we go to Lubbock, we eat, we come home, we sit down, and we watch this show called Big Shots. It's really been a good show, but we're about seven or eight shows in, and towards the end of the show this week, now remind you, this is a Disney-produced show. At the end of the show this week, they had two young girls that were sitting together in a living room, and one of them was playing a guitar. We're talking about girls that are probably sophomores, juniors in high school, and she's singing this little love song to this other little girl, and after they sing this love song, then they kiss. That's not on HBO. That's not on Cinemax. That is on the Disney Channel. Homosexuality is being pushed down our throats. We are morally in a mess in this country. I don't know if you keep up with all the child sex trafficking that is going on, and it's they're coming through our borders, and the reason is because there is a demand for them in our society. I read an article yesterday that there was a doctor in Ohio that put aside $2,000 every month for the purpose of getting little girls between 12 and 15 years of age to come to his motel room and have sex with him. We saw that just this week there was a man in Lubbock that held a very prominent position working with children, taking pictures of a 15-year-old girl in a shower. I'm telling you, our country is in a mess morally. Not only that, but we are giving up and we're losing our freedoms at every turn. Our most basic civil rights will be trampled on every single day. And the thing that surprises me, people are just willing to give them up without a fight or without any kind of objection whatsoever. Many of you will remember this quote by Benjamin Franklin, who said this: they who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Patrick Henry in 1775 said this: give me liberty or give me death. I can remember growing up, and freedom and liberty was something that people stood on and was unwilling at any reason to give it up. But now, in order for us to be safe, in order for us to be comfortable, and in order for us not to screw the to get into trouble, we are willing to give those freedoms away. Crime in our cities is at an all-time high. I don't know if you've noticed, but Lubbock's crimes rate, they came out last week, and murder was up well over 100%, and all the others. I listened to the news director at KCBD in Lubbock. He was talking about crime, and he said this: Lubbock has one of the highest crime rates in the entire country. They showed a picture of little leaguers in Lubbock, Texas, laying face down in the dugout. The reason that they were laying down is because nearby there were shots that was going off in the neighborhood. It wasn't the first time, it wasn't the second time, but that is the third time that it has happened to that little league field, where little leaguers had to fall down on the ground because they were afraid that they might get shot. That's not in Chicago, that's not in Dallas, that is in Lubbock, Texas. Crime in our cities is an all-time high. Murder rates are skyrocketing. I wrote this down, and I want to read it like I wrote it. We are making the police the criminals, and the criminals the victims. In our society today, the police officers have become the criminals. They're the ones that are standing trial, and the criminals have become the victims. Another thing that I believe why our country is in a mess is that we are racially divided. I've told you some of this. I can remember when I was in high school, one of my teachers, I believe it was Barney Popino, who taught biology, but I remember we was talking about these type of things in a class, I believe when I was a sophomore in high school, and he said this. He said, one of these days there will be race wars and race riots in our country. I thought to myself, there is no way that is ever going to take place. But I'm telling you, if things continue down the path that they are growing, it is a possibility that could be happening in our country. Animosity between all of the races is taking place. Our world is not getting better, but our world is on a downward spiral. So what do we do? Where can we go to find the answers? Where can we go to find help? In your personal life tonight, when you run the train off of the tracks and your life gets upended, where do you go to find answers, and where do you go to seek answers? I'm telling you, the one that has the answers tonight is Jesus. Amen? The one that has the answers tonight is Jesus. And I've added this, He's always had the answers, and He will always have the answers. He's always had the answers, and He always will have the answers. Psalms 33 and verse number 12 is a great verse. It says this: blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The reason that our nation has been blessed, the reason that you have been blessed, because we live in a nation that was founded upon the Word of God. We live in a nation tonight that was founded upon biblical principles, and God put His blessings upon this nation. In Exodus 19 and verse number 5, Jesus is talking to the nation of Israel, and He says this: now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Proverbs 14 and verse number 34 says this: righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 11 and verse number 11, the Bible says this: by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but the overthrow by the mouth of the wicked. What are those verses telling us tonight? Those verses are telling us that as a nation, as a family, or as an individual, when we make the Lord Jesus Christ a priority and we follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are going to be blessed, we're going to be exalted, and we are going to be a special treasure unto the Lord. But when we turn our back on God and when we turn away from God, the Lord Jesus Christ will do the opposite of blessing. And Isaiah chapter number 9 is one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. Because in that chapter, Isaiah is going to give us the prophecy that one day the Messiah is going to come. When you read verse number 2 of Isaiah chapter number 9, he is going to describe the conditions that Jesus Christ is going to be born in. And here's what Isaiah says: the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isaiah was saying when Jesus, the Messiah, comes, it is going to be a dark time. It is going to be a very difficult time. And if you study the times when Jesus was born, you're going to find out that there was no civil rights existed whatsoever. The Jews had no civil rights. The Roman government could do anything that they wanted without any justification. Remember when Jesus was born, Herod said, hey, kill all the babies 2 years and younger. Women had no rights. They were basically property of their husbands. They had to do what their husbands told them. They had to be subjected to their husband. They had no mercy. They had no rights. They were at the mercy of men. Women had no rights during the days of Jesus Christ. Children even had less rights. If a husband and a wife had a child and they didn't want that child, they could kill it. If they didn't want to kill it personally, they could take it out to the dump of Gehenna, and they could leave that baby on the dump of Gehenna, and it would die by starvation or being exposed to the elements. Or in many cases, there was perverts that would come in and they would capture those little children, and they would take those children back and raise them for their own pleasure and for their own benefits. Children had no rights during the time of Jesus. It was a very dark time. Religions of the day were in a mess. The Romans and the Greeks, they worshiped many gods. They were polytheistic. They served multiple gods. Jesus or God had not spoken in over 400 years. We know between the Old Testament and when Jesus came was a 400-year period. And during that 400-year period, God did not speak. The Jews had a form of religion, as Paul would say later in the book of Timothy, but they denied the power of God. They didn't want to have a relationship with God. They were more concerned about their traditions and their rules than they were about the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The government was a dictatorship ruled by Herod the Great, who was ruthless. Matter of fact, when I was studying this, I found a quote that said this: it was better to be Herod's hog than it was to be his child, because he killed almost every one of his children. It was a dictatorship. The Jewish people were divided. You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the Essenes, and you had the Zealots. And they were all in conflict, and they were in constant friction. One author put it this way: riots were common, and tensions were unceasing. So when we think we have it bad today, when we look at the times that Jesus was born in, it was far worse than it is today. But when Jesus came, everything changed. You see, Jesus brought light to darkness. He brought hope to the despair. He brought joy to the sadness. He brought healing to the sick, to the broken, and to the wounded. You have your Bibles. Go with me to Luke chapter number 4. Hold your finger there in Galatians. Luke chapter number 4. Early on in Jesus' ministry, he goes into the synagogue. He picks up the scriptures. Verse number 16. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set them at liberty that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it unto the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes." You see, Isaiah said there's going to come one that's going to bring deliverance. There's going to come one that is going to bring hope. And there's going to come one that is going to bring salvation. And Jesus stood and said, "I am the fulfillment of that prophecy. I have come to change everything." And Jesus began to heal. Jesus began to give sight to the blind, and Jesus began to teach, and Jesus began to preach. You can take the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and verse number 7. And you can take those verses, and if we would apply those verses to our lives, it would change not only our lives, but if a nation would just take those principles that are given in the Sermon on the Mount, it would radically change the nation in which we live, because Jesus came to change this world. But He came to expose man's greatest problem. And you know what that problem is. Brother Chris preached on it this morning. Man's greatest problem is sin. The reason that we need to talk about sin, because it's always been, has been man's problem. It will always be man's problem. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man," talking about Adam, "wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, as Brother Chris said this morning, he's a sinner. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. Everyone that has been born a sinner. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, you can quote it. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 22, here's what the Bible says. "But the Scripture hath concluded, all are under sin." You see, we live in a world today that doesn't want to talk about sin. Many preachers are afraid to preach on sin because they don't want to upset or agitate or whatever it is. Many people would say, "You know what, I don't sin. I don't live a bad life." You may not live a bad life, but the Bible teaches all are under sin, and all have sinned. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8, here is what the Bible says. "For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His words is not in us." You see, it's dangerous ground when you say, "I don't have no sin. I don't have nothing to repent of. I don't have nothing to confess sin of." Because literally we're saying, "God, You're a liar and I'm a truth." Jesus says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." What was the problem that Cain had? He committed murder. No, his problem was sin. What was the problem in Noah's day? Is because their imagination, their thoughts was on the imagination, or their thoughts was on wickedness. No, that was not their problem. The problem in Noah's day was sin. What was the problems in Moses' day? It was sin. What was the problem in King Saul's day? It was sin. What was the problem in the history of the nation? It was because they were sinners and they lived in sin. What was the problem in Jesus' day with the Pharisees? It was sin. And what is the problem in our day, my friends? It is a sin problem. That is the problem. You see, sin has affected all generations. And because we are born sinners, we are born with a sinful heart. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse number 18 through 20, here's what the Bible says. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." Jesus earlier said this in Matthew 12 and verse number 34. He said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak." You know what Cain's problem was? He had a sinful heart. The people in Noah's day, they had a sinful heart. And you know what your problem was before you came to Christ? You had a sinful heart. In Galatians chapter number 5, and like I say, I'm almost through now. When Paul is writing this to the Galatians, He is going to describe the actions of those that don't know Jesus before they're saved. He is going to give us a list of all of the things that comes from a heart that has not given themselves to Jesus. You're going to recognize these because you know what? These were the characteristics that you had and I had before you got saved. When you read Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul says, you know what? That's what you were before you got saved. And if we'll be honest with ourselves tonight, hey, we were guilty of all of these things before we got saved. Notice what it says. Verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are this heart that Jesus is talking about. It's adulteries, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You see, there's always been sexual sin. Always. You know why? It comes from the heart. You see, the problem today is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. He goes on and he says in verse number 20, there's idolatries. There's witchcraft. There's spiritual problems. But the root of those spiritual problems is a sinful heart. There's hatred. There's variance. There's emulations. There's wrath. There's strife. There's seditions. There's heresies. There's envyings and murders and drunkens and revelings and such like. The which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is saying, or Paul is teaching in this text, that if these are the characteristics of your life, you can't go to heaven. Because you haven't had a heart change. Your heart is still following the flesh. And when you follow the flesh, these are the characteristics that you are going to have. But when you get on your knees and say, God, I'm a sinner. I've offended you. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to come into my life and I want you to change me and I want you to save me. You know what? He doesn't just write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He does that. But He comes and lives inside of you. And I like what an old preacher said one time. If somebody as big as God comes and lives inside of you, you cannot no longer be the same. You see, I wasn't the same when I got saved. I was just a young man, but I'm telling you, I was guilty of all of these things that he's talking about, the sins of the flesh. I was just doing what was natural. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to work at it. It just came out of me. But Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13, the Bible says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, the word mortify means to put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, Paul says, in verse number 22, that there is a fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you, here is how things are changed. You begin to love those that you didn't care anything before. You have a love for humanity. You have a love for people. You have a love for those that you come to church with. You have a love for those that are around you. You say, I don't. Maybe you need a new heart. He also says that you're going to have a joy. And you know me, it's always been my pet peeve. I never understand why people come to church and they feel like they're sucking on a dill pickle when they come to church. Nobody ever smiles. Nobody ever laughs. You come to church and you know me, when y'all don't do anything, then I want to get faster. And I'm over there beating Martha and Linda saying, go faster, because I want things to go a little bit, you know, because I just think church ought to be a place of joy. There ought to be a place of happiness. There ought to be smiling and there ought to be laughing. And I'm telling you, when Jesus moves inside of you, my friends, you're going to have a joy like you never have. You're not going to have to work it up. You're not going to have to think on it. It's just going to come out. You're going to have peace. Oh, how we need peace in our day. I get discouraged. I went for a long time where I didn't watch the news because it would just stir me up. And I went as long as I could, and I just started watching one little program. And then it wasn't long. Now I'm watching everything again, you know. And I get stirred up. But you know what? When you save, God's going to give you peace. I don't want inflation to go sky high, but it don't really bother me because I know God's on the throne. I don't understand all the things that's taking place, but you know what? Deep in my heart and deep in my soul, I have a peace because I'm saved, because Jesus has changed that heart. And he goes on, you're going to have long suffering, you're going to have endurance, and you're going to be gentle. Now, I'm still working on that gentle part. I see Brother Chris, he's so gentle and he's so kind with all of these people. And you know, sometimes I want to say, why don't you get mad every once in a while? I like to get mad. Don't you like to get mad every once in a while? I like them old preachers talk about, you know what, just clear off the spot and throw a fit. I like to do that every once in a while. But the Spirit produces gentleness, doesn't it? He goes on and he says, goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. That word temperance means self-control. Against such there is no law. Right quickly, let me give you two illustrations and then I'm done. Go with me to Mark chapter number 5. This will take just a second. Mark chapter number 5. I want to show you when Jesus comes in what takes place. Mark chapter number 5 is the story about the maniac of Gadara. It's really one of my favorite verses or favorite passages or stories. Remember when Jesus comes, there was this man of the Gadarenes, verse number 1, it says, and they came over into the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with feathers and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the feathers broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. Verse number 9 and following tells us that he probably had as many as 2,000 devils in him. But Jesus cast those devils out. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Now notice this, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Do you know what that maniac Gadara needed? He needed Jesus. Jesus was the answer. And when Jesus came in, the heart of flesh, the spirit of the flesh walked out, and the Holy Spirit of God moved in and changed. In Luke chapter number 19, and then we're done. Luke chapter number 19, this is the story of one of my all-time favorite kids' songs, Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, you know. But I want you to notice verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass this way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false occasion, I restore him fourfold. Now notice this, and Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, before Zacchaeus got saved, it was no big deal for him to take advantage of people. It was no big deal for him to overcharge people their taxes. But when Jesus came in, he says, If I have taken anything falsely, I'll pay it back. You know what the answer is in our day and time? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Because when people give their heart and their life to Him, everything changes. Here's what I hope to do over the next maybe couple of months. I'm going to take different situations, such as women's rights. Where did they come from? Where did we get our educational system from? Where did we get our medical hospitalizations from? Anything that is good that you and I get to enjoy, where did it come from? You know what we're going to find out? It came because of Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus is still the answer. He's always been, and He'll always be. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd send revival into our hearts. God, I pray that if we wouldn't just go through the motions. But God, tonight I pray before we pillow our head tonight that we'll get along with you and we'll restore that relationship. God, my desire is there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you'd help them to realize that you're the answer. And Lord, maybe if there's some that are here tonight and they're going through difficulty in their life and they're trying at every hand and they're doing this and they're doing that and they're seeking the resources from their friends and everybody else, God, I pray that tonight they would come and lay those burdens down at your feet. Because you have all of the answers. God, I pray that you move mightily. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.